let you go home. I know the weather, when it gets bad, it gets on our mind. We get here and then we think about having to get back home. I know you've heard about the preacher that went to church and there wasn't many people there, and he just preached and preached like he would if everybody was there. So the farmer asked him, you know, he said, said something about it, and the preacher said, well, you feed your cat when there's one of them there, or if there's 25 of them there. And he said, yeah, but I don't dump out the whole load. Just a few of them. I know you've heard that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I preached from here this morning, and I'm preaching it backwards, because we're going to go back into verse number 11, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter there. But I got studying this, and I just didn't think I could deal with all of this in one message, and so thought we'd break it up in a couple of passages or a couple of messages. And so let's just begin reading 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read verse 11 down through verse number 16. But notice in verse number 11, he said, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so we're going to look at these verses tonight, and already being familiar with the passage of Scripture from this morning, it ought to mean more to us. Sort of like we sung the song a cappella tonight. I enjoyed that. Blessed be the tie that binds. And I seen up there that John Fawcett was the author of that. And so knowing how that song came about, it just meant more to me tonight than it has before. I could just imagine in my mind the struggle going on, the pastor trying to leave and not being able to because he loved his people and they loved him. And so that just makes it mean that more to you. So when you're familiar with something, you get more out of it. And so we've already looked at this and already familiar with this passage of Scripture. And I feel like the key thought or the message for tonight would be found in verse number 12, where he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Be an example, being an example. What the Bible says about that, your example, my example, is very, very important. And we may not think about it all the time, but people are watching us. They're watching how we live, how we talk, how we react to things, how we interact with other people. People are watching that all the time, in church, out of church, at work, at school, wherever you might go. If we claim to be a child of God, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, people are watching us. And Timothy here and the Apostle Paul is talking to him about being an example. And we were talking this morning in Sunday school about having children in the house. Children, grandchildren, especially young children, they pick up things you say. They pick up your actions. Have you ever saw yourself in your children, for example? And sometimes we see them do something. And when we see them do something, we see ourselves. They do something. In fact, I do things all the time like my dad. And I've even said, or Kim has said, she said, oh my, that's just like my mom. And I've said, that's just like my dad. That's just like my mom. And so why do we do that? That's been our example down through the years. Even, look how many years I've been gone from home a whole lot longer than I was at home. But I still do things that my dad, my granddad, my grandparents. And so our example, it carries on for generations sometimes.
And so Paul's talking to Timothy about being an example in verse number 12. And notice how this is phrased. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Now, he doesn't tell Timothy, be an example to the believers. If it said, be an example to the believers, we could say, well, that is just to Timothy. That's just for preachers, that they are to be an example to the believers. But it doesn't say be an example to the believers. It says be thou an example of the believers. And so Timothy is to be an example of what all believers should be. Be an example of the believers. Be an example of what believers ought to be. So when we find that in verse number 12, we learn that this is for all of us. It's for all of us to be this way. And Timothy is to be an example of the believers, of what the believers ought to be. And so when you read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, that's not just for preachers. It's for all of us. It's for all of us to take and to apply into our lives. So there's several things just in verse number 12, just in getting started. He said in verse number 11, he said, these things command and teach. Then he said in verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth. Now, that word despise, it means to think against. That is one of the hardest, that is one of the biggest things to overcome as a young preacher is youth. And so Timothy was quite a bit younger. He was probably half the age of the Apostle Paul. When this was written to Timothy, Timothy was still considered a young man. He was probably in his 30s, probably his mid-30s, about 35. The Apostle Paul at that time, in that day, was considered to be an older and an aged man. He was twice that age. He was probably mid-60s, somewhere around 65. So Timothy, if he'd have been in any other field, he would have had experience by then. But as a preacher, as a pastor, he's still young. He's considered to be young. The Apostle Paul said, let no man despise thy youth. One of the biggest things to overcome as a preacher and a pastor is youth. Now you wouldn't think about that unless you were young. But you think about the pressure of being a young preacher. And all the eyes are on you. And here's something about youth. There's nothing you can do to overcome it except become older. I mean, it's a blessing. You say, boy, a person's young and they got zeal and energy and they've got their whole life before them. But if you are young, and especially in the ministry, everybody that's older than you, here's how human nature is. Well, they just don't know. You know? Well, let them get a few years. Let them have children and come along. It's a huge blessing, but it's also a handicap. Because there's nothing you can do about it. And the only thing that people would not despise you about that is to gain experience as you go along. And in order to gain experience, you have to get older. You don't learn how to be a parent. You don't learn how to be a pastor overnight. I teach in a Bible Institute. We don't teach anybody how to be a pastor. There's no book that deals. There's some that deals with some things, but there's nothing that deals with everything that you come up against. And I've dealt with this in my ministry. In fact, when I started out, that was my major thing that really hindered me from surrendering and giving myself. And like I was preaching about this morning, is the thought kept coming to my mind, I'm just a child. I'm young. Nobody will listen to me. Nobody will listen to what I say. Nobody will care what I have to say. I just don't know. And it kept coming to my mind, this is for older people. I was 20 years old when I surrendered to preach. But the Bible talks to Jeremiah. He said, I cannot speak for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, go. And I was, You know, God told Jeremiah, I know you're young, go ahead and do it anyway. Paul's telling Timothy, I know you're young, go ahead and do it anyway. Let no man despise thy youth. Now, the only way to overcome the youth issue is by doing these things that we find here in verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Timothy, you're young. People are looking at you. They're going to think you don't know what you're talking about. They're going to look at you as a young person being inexperienced. And what do you have to offer them? Timothy, what you need to do, you need to be an example. And not inexperienced, but in these things. There's six things in verse number 12 that we're just going to look at tonight and take one by one. Timothy, if you will be an example in these things, you'll be wise beyond your years. So what can a young person, what can a young Christian, what can a young preacher do? They can be an example in these things. Be an example of the believers. Let's look at them. Number one, we'll just go down through the list in verse number 12. Be thou an example of the believers. Number one, in word. That's how you talk. That's your speech that you use. In word. In word means in his speech, in his conversations with other people, as he gives instructions, not only what he says, but how he says it. And boy, that sort of goes along with our Sunday school lesson this morning. And I've talked with young preachers before, and I've told them, you know, it's not just what you say, but it's how you say it. Goes a long ways in how things are received by God's people. You can't get up being a stripling like it talks about, being a young person, and be taken serious if you say things in a way that you ought not to be saying. In word. In talking with other people, would you have much confidence in a pastor that used the slang and the terminology of today's world? There is a trend out here in, I would say, among evangelical churches to be hip and to be cool and to try to use the language of the world. And it amazes me how far some of these people who claim to be pastors, I mean, the great lengths they go to not to look like what I look like tonight. You know, wear a suit and a tie and look like a man of God. And then the lengths that they will go to not talk right, if that's a good way to put it. And to use the language of instead of a Christian that is mature in the world, to use the talk of the street, to use the talk of surfer or skateboarder or somebody that you would think like that. I was talking to somebody a while back, and they were talking about this preacher that they knew, and they were leading a Bible study, and it amazed me what the person leading the Bible study said. And I can't even repeat it tonight. He had used a curse word in describing Jesus and the disciples. And I thought to myself, and you think that the Lord's in that? We're to be an example. We are all to be an example in word. I think it was two Monday nights ago, one of the bowl games was on. And I don't want to say, I think I remember which one it was, but it was one of the coaches after the game. And they'd won they're going to play the national championship. And they interviewed the coach after, and he was overwhelmed about winning the game. And they said, what does this mean to you right now? And he said something like, well, I can't even explain it. He said, just glory to God. I said, well, praise the Lord, that's good. And it wasn't two sentences later, He used a curse word. Some of you are nodding your head. You heard it too, about playing in the game. And that just blows my mind. What kind of message is that sending to the world? But you hear stuff like that all the time. People will say, well, praise the Lord, glory to God. And then in the next sentence, they'll use a curse word to describe something. That is the wrong message to send. And so Paul's talking to Timothy, young preacher, young man, child of God, be an example of the believers in word. What would you think of me if you heard me out here in the world cussing about something? Probably your confidence would just hit rock bottom. What if I heard you out here cursing about something? Well, we need to be careful about the words that we use, and pastors should be a good example in the pulpit, of course. And I've heard some preachers cuss in the pulpit. Not, you know, they use words and say things in a way that they ought not to say. You know, we're preaching the Bible and we're talking about the Lord, but if you say bless God from the pulpit, you better be careful how you say that. That you're not using the Lord's name in vain. See, there's a way to use the, if you're using the Lord's name as a byword, that's just the same as cussing. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So when we say Jesus, we're not using it as a exclamation of something going on in our lives. Be an example. Be an example in the words we use and things we say. People are listening. Colossians 4 and 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I think sometimes preachers are guilty of trying to get a shock value in some of the things they say. The Word of God's shocking enough. We don't have to add flavor to it by using words and phrases and things. We don't have to talk to people and use language about in a violent way about, you know, you've heard people say, well, they do that, they're just going to go to. It's not how the Bible exhorts us to use language. We'll use it to edify one another. We'll use it to glorify the Lord. We ought to be gentlemen. We ought to be ladies in how we deal with people. How we preach, how we teach, how we talk. And so he said, be an example in word. Then he says, in conversation, number two. Now, conversation in the Bible is more than just talk. We think about a conversation, we think about talking on the telephone, but or something like that. But in the Bible, conversation also has to do with our walk. Has to do with how we live our lives. Webster says this, conversation means the general course of manners, behavior, deportment, especially as it respects morals. Philippians chapter 1 verse 27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So the way we live our lives ought to be becoming to the gospel of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That has to do with how we're living our lives. Conversation has to do with, there's two sides to the gospel. There's the believing side and there's the behaving side. We ought to behave. We need to behave. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1, Paul says this, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some others epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? He said, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Have you heard that saying? You're the only Bible some people will ever read. That's what Paul was saying here. Ye are our epistle. You're our letter. Written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So, we've heard that saying, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. Are they reading a good version? Are they getting a clear message? Our lives ought to be an example of what the Bible says. When people look at us, we say we're a Christian, there ought not to be a contradiction there. People shouldn't look at our lives and say things like, I thought they were a Christian. I thought they said they were a believer. I thought they believed the word of the Bible. There ought to be a... There shouldn't be a contradiction in our lives. Sometimes I've heard the saying, your life speaks so loudly I can't hear what you're saying. You can preach and talk to somebody, but if your life is preaching a different message, they're not going to want to hear what you've got to say. And so we are to live out the Bible in our lives. If we just talk about the Bible, but we don't live what the Bible says, it's not going to do anybody any good. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. You can say that all day long, but if you don't live it, if you don't practice it at home, it's not going to do any good. Just talking about these things. H.A. Ironside, he said, now no man can lift another person above his own level. See, it's serious business to be an example. Paul told Timothy, be an example in word, in conversation. This is why our conversation, the way we live our lives, is very, very important. Others are, they are reading us. So he said, number one, in word. He said, number two, in conversation. He said, number three, in charity. Now, charity is a good Bible word. Charity is Christian love. The modern versions and all these, you can't hardly buy a card without it being something other than a King James Bible, and then they'll take the word charity and they substitute love. Charity needs to remain in the Bible as is because it's not the love of the world. Yes, that's what it means, but when you read the word charity, it is Christian love. Christian love is higher than the love of the world. And so charity, he said you need to be an example in charity. That is Christian love. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Our love ought to be a type of love that is amazing to the world. I read a story one time about Loretta Lynn, famous country music singer, and as far as I know, she claims to be a Christian. I don't know. I don't know about her life. But if you read the story of her life, she has had a very interesting life. Her husband, and a lot of these country music, you know, they're on number five. But I guess she had the same fella all the years until he died. And she wrote that song, Stand By Your Man. Some of you remember that. It's been a long time ago now. But now her husband was mean to her. He cheated on her. He abused her. But when he died, she said that she loved him so much she couldn't help but forgive him. She wrote that song, Stand By Your Man. She meant it. Now if the world, that's the context she sung that song in, was the context of the world, that's not a gospel song. But if the context of the world can have a love like that, they can love somebody that really they are undeserving of our love, how much higher should our love be? The Bible talks about it. I've already read it. Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, it speaks evil of no man. Charity looks for the good in others, not the bad. If you have somebody that you have a problem with, if you start talking bad about them, you know what the end result of that's going to be? Hatred. If you start downing one another. Even in our own families, even in among our own children, if our children begin to do something that displeases us, and all we begin to see is the bad, then what you'll find is, after a while, you can't find any good. All you find is the bad, the bad, the bad. The Bible says charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Charity looks for the good. When I think about charity, I think about my mamaw, Cornette. I never heard her say a bad thing about anybody. She never talked about derogatory things. I never heard her talk about anything having to do with politics. That probably helped us a whole lot. I never heard her. Now, I'm not saying she never did. She wasn't perfect. She's just like everybody else. But in my hearing, I never heard a negative thing out of her. Charity. When I think about charity, I think about somebody like that. Charity would help us. And Paul told Timothy, now Timothy, you're a preacher, you're a pastor, you're going to deal with a lot of things. Be an example in charity. Be an example in charity. That's Christian love. That's the kind of world, that is the kind of love the world needs to see. The kind of love the world sees all the time is the wrong kind of love. The world needs to see the right kind of love. Believers need to see the right kind of love. So be an example in charity. Be an example in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit. Now I like this. If you look at it, it's not a capital S. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, as believers, we're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. That's a teaching in another place in the Bible. Here that is not talking about that. We're to be an example in spirit. That is a little S. All of us have a spirit about us. We might say that about somebody. Well, they've got a good spirit. They've got a meek spirit. They've got a bitter spirit. They've got an angry spirit about them. That's not foreign to our understanding. We understand what that means. What kind of spirit do we have? What kind of spirit do we put off? I thought about this over in the book of Daniel, chapter number 5. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses over there. Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 11. It said, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit, and knowledge, and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. The Bible tells us there that in Daniel, an excellent spirit was found in him. Now, there's a lot of things Daniel was known for. But what did they remember about Daniel? You know, Daniel, he had an excellent spirit in him. What kind of person do you think Daniel was? Do you think Daniel walked around kicking every can he saw in the street saying, I can't believe what's happened to me. I was carried away captive as a little boy. Do you think Daniel carried that on his back all them years? I don't think Daniel did. Do you think Daniel walked around talking about the king and all the things and them bunch of heathens? See, he lived in a bunch of heathens. Literally. Did he not? But do you think he walked around talking like that? Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. And when they had a problem in the kingdom, they didn't remember Daniel as that old bitter Jew, that old hateful fella. He said, you know, your dad had somebody he really had a lot of confidence in. And this fella really helped Nebuchadnezzar when he had problems. Had an excellent spirit about him. That ought to be our desire. Have a good spirit about us. Oh, you know what I'm saying tonight? If we said about somebody, they just got a good spirit about them. Have you ever met somebody and it didn't take you long to figure out they were a child of God too? That they were saved? Maybe they didn't even say it. What attracted you there? To get to talking about the Lord. You had a good spirit. I'm not being mystical in saying that. So, Timothy, you're going to have to have a good spirit about you. We would say it like this: have a good attitude. You're going to deal with people, and Timothy, you're going to pastor people, and you're going to have problems. You're going to have to have a good spirit about you. People's watching how you deal with things, how you take things. Be an example. Have a good spirit. All right, that's number four. Then he goes on, he says, in faith. Now, faith here is not just what we believe. But it means constancy, to be consistent in our profession. Faith here means more than just what we believe, but it means in faithfulness. God's men ought to be faithful. God's people ought to be faithful. Now, we're off some tonight. And a lot of reason is the weather. But on any given Sunday night or Wednesday night, there'll be a less percentage that's there on Sunday morning. What's up with that? God's people ought to be faithful. When he says faith here, he means faithfulness. Faithfulness in the things of God. You wouldn't think very much of my faith if it was not backed up by faithfulness. Timothy, you can preach all day long, but if you are not faithful, people will despise your youth. You're not being a good example. What would you think if you come out to church tonight and it's snowing and it's slick and I wasn't here? Because I stuck my head out the door and it was slick. And I said, boy, I'm going to stay in tonight. You wouldn't think much of that, would you? I wouldn't. If I sat where you're sitting and the preacher wasn't faithful to church, that's not a good example. Timothy is to be an example to everybody concerning faithfulness in the things of God. Be thou an example of the believers, what they should be. And the first thing I think of is being faithful to church. Well, you expect the preacher to be there. He's getting paid. I can't stand that. I can't stand to hear a church talk about they hired them a preacher. If you hired one, that's probably what you got's a hireling. But people have that attitude sometimes. But the pastor ought to be faithful. Why should he be faithful? He's to be faithful. Why? Feed the flock. It's hard to feed somebody at home watching the football game. God's people are to be faithful. They get something out of this thing as well. So be an example in faith. Be, and I'm not going to go on and on because you're here tonight. If I had stickers, I'd give you one. Came out in a snowstorm. Get double points. But see, I don't give that. But the Lord took notice. He knows who could come, who couldn't come. I understand that. I understand not everybody can get out. I understand that some need to stay home for their health, for their safety. I understand that. But you understand what I'm saying tonight. We're to be faithful. in the things of God. And then he talks about this, number six, in purity. Purity in motive. Purity in action. Paul talks to Timothy about in other places about why he's doing what he's doing. Not to do things for filthy lucre's sake. Man, if there's anything rotten in religion, it is being religious for money. Doing things for money. Putting on a show, acting like the Pharisees and all like that, doing things for money. My goodness, that's not what we're doing. Why we're doing what we're doing. Purity in motive, purity in actions, purity in thought, purity in mind, purity in heart, holiness. Now the church of the world, and I think that's a pretty good way to describe what goes on in a lot of churches. The last thing they're interested in is purity, holiness. There's a lot of people that they're interested in going to church, but they're also interested in drinking their wine, drinking their beer, and talking their old dirty talk. They're not interested in purity. God's interested in purity. God's interested in holiness. And of all that ought to be an example, the Timothys of this world ought to be an example. And so he tells Timothy there, Timothy, you're young. And you're never going to overcome being young, but just by getting older. And you know what? That takes time. I was talking to somebody the other day, another man, and we were talking about gray hair. Boy, I'm young to have as much white. It's not even gray, it's white now. But he was younger than me, and his hair looked about like mine. We were talking about when did you start turning white and gray and all like that. You didn't think men talked about that, but if I meet another young gray-headed fella, I might ask him about it. But I told him, and we was talking about people coloring their hair. I said, I never colored mine. He never colored his. I said, the way I look at it, I earned them. When I surrendered to preach, I was very young. And I said, God, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm young. And it wasn't long. God started accommodating me looking older. Here come a white hair. And here come three. Here come four. Here comes in splotches. I've looked like a dog down through the years. Just have a splotch here and a splotch there, and now it's all beginning to look the same color again, but it's not black anymore. Let no man despise thy youth, but while you're getting older, you're just going to have to be an example. And I said this morning, I'm not going to go all over it again, but there's a key here, be an example. In verse 16, continue. Constancy, faithfulness down through the years. After a while, people forget about that you're young. If you'll be an example of the believers, of what believers ought to be. Don't neglect these things. Verse 14, give attendance to these things. In verse 13, till I come, give attendance to. Now, I didn't preach on that this morning, but you ought to underline that. Give attendance to. Be faithful to these things. Do these things. Neglect not these things. Meditate upon these things. That's like a cow chewing the cud. Roll it over in your mind. Give thyself wholly to them. Then verse 16, and I'm closing. I've already given you the closing this morning. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in them. Being an example is a lifelong thing. You're going to have to do it your whole life. If you know somebody that's older and you say, man, I really look up to them. Why? Is it because they started doing what they were doing a few weeks ago? No. It's because as long as you've known them, they've been faithful. They've been consistent. They've been involved in the right things, doing the right things, talking the right way. They've been consistent. That's why we look up to people. That's why we say I'd like to be like that when I get older. Consistency down through the years. And so there's a lot of good things in this passage of Scripture. I don't think I could ever dealt with all that in one message, but I wanted to come back tonight and just deal with that little section there about being an example. And let no man despise thy youth. I'd like for us tonight to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to let you go. I can see out the back door the snow's already covered, the bottom half of the glass door. Man, we'll have to shovel out in order to get home. I'm just kidding. We're going to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here tonight and God spoke to your heart, if you need to come, won't you come? I'm just going to give the invitation like that. I'm going to pray in just a minute. If you need to come tonight, if God spoke to your heart. But it'd be good for us tonight just to pray. Say, Lord, let me be like that. Let me be like Timothy. Let me be a good example. At home, at work, at school. Let me be an example and have these things in my life. What about it tonight? All right, we're going to pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for letting us be here tonight. I want to thank you for the many blessings you've given us. I want to thank you for the good liberty to preach thy word tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for each and every one that's come out this evening. It's bad out. I didn't realize it gotten as slick as it had or as bad as it had, but Lord, I pray you keep us safe as we go back home. Lord, keep us safe as we go down the road here and back up the mountain and up the different roads. And just pray you especially watch over each and every one of us. I appreciate those that come out tonight. Lord, I realize we have some that are elderly and been sick and things like that. They don't need to be out tonight. I pray you bless them in a special way. I pray you be with those that are sick. I pray you be with those that are traveling. I pray you bring us back on Wednesday night if it be your will. And the Lord, if you don't come and get us in the rapture, we'd come back and we'd have a good study on Wednesday night in Mark chapter 13. Lord, we're looking to that. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for what it does in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray you be with us as we go. Be with all these objects that were mentioned before the service tonight. We'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's cover our feet. Anybody got anything?